If you hadn't.
All right. Folks, I've got this turned on. We are ready to call to order our special meeting of May 24th, 2021 of the Marysville Exempted Middle School District Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke? Here. Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powell?
Here.
Ms. Smith?
Here. So today, the purpose of our work session is to review our board, our governance team operating protocol, and also to have a first look at a draft of a new board member orientation book that Brian and Nan have been working on. So in front of you, I've got copies of our current operating protocol, and then I also, I just threw in a couple of samples. I have just gone online and saw, you know, a couple other ones that I thought, oh, you know, it's probably good to see what some other people do, see if that stirs up any ideas for us. And then I also brought our book that we read, The Governance Core, because it talks a little bit about protocols in there, too. So having said all of that, we just look at our current operating protocol. You know, we thought it was important to talk about what the purpose was for having this, what our mission is, and then obviously, as you can see, we've broken it down to our general governance team, communications, school board meetings, and professional growth. So does anybody have any opening comments, concerns? I mean, the last time we revised this was 2016, so it's been a while.
So examples that you have, where did they come from?
So the first one, the first one with red and black on it is actually from Michigan. And it was just a one-pager, and one-pagers always catch my attention, you know, because I think it's kind of nice to have something brief. And this one just basically breaks it down to protocols from the superintendent to the board and the board to the superintendent. Another one that you have in there was just kind of a general, it really wasn't for any state, it was just when I Googled school board protocols, this came up as a sample. And, you know, so on this one, it really, it just has 15 areas to think about. So, you know, I think a lot of those areas could fit into some of the sections that we have on ours right now. But again, it was just the purpose of handing these out is to just kind of spur some other thoughts. And, you know, maybe if we like the way ours is laid out right now and if we feel like it accurately outlines what we all think is important, then that's good.
I think maybe we should go through our own.
Yep.
One by one, first of all.
Yep.
And then we can maybe take a little time and look at these other ones and see where there might be some improvement area or
sure.
some idea that we want to incorporate.
Okay. So if we just start out with the opening statement for the purpose of enhancing teamwork among members of the board and between the board and the administration, we, the members of the Marysville Assembly, do hereby publicly commit ourselves collectively and individually to the following operating protocol, stating our mission and further stating that the governance team, which is the board, superintendent, and treasurer, represents the needs and interests of all the students in our district while respecting the community's values, beliefs, and priorities. So I think with that one, we wanted to make sure that, you know, that we cover both our responsibilities for overseeing what happens in our district, as well as the fact that we are elected officials, so we need to respect our community's values, beliefs, and priorities.
We're just moving through it, right? So for number four, the general governance team, is it implicit there that the board members themselves also recommend, propose, or suggest items that go before the board? Does that need to be said? So who can put an item on the agenda? The treasurer,
okay.
The superintendent, okay. The board president, their presumed board members suggest. Is that correct?
Yes, can we back up a little bit though and just, did anybody have any things that they wanted to change on that opening part?
For the opening?
Like, yeah, just those first statements. So kind of the general idea that we want to present the purpose of the operating protocol.
So on the red and black copy that you gave, it seems like two key points are trying to make, but this is probably done in response to where there's been some sort of trouble.
Okay.
Okay, so the board and superintendent, we recognize the importance of clear, transparent, and timely communication. So they have that kind of folded out there. So, but I don't think we've necessarily had those issues that we need to call attention to it.
Right.
We agree to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our operating protocol and our mission statement is spot.
And then the second thing they called out is here, we recognize that the superintendent is the only employee in the district who reports to the board members. It is expected the superintendent provide necessary information to the board as requested, following the outlined protocol. But we haven't had any issues with that.
I don't like that at all.
Well, and I think that the fact that we've broken ours up, like this, theirs seems like it's just all focused on communication, but we have the general governance team and then we have communications as a separate area. So I think our communication area covers some of the things that they have in theirs. But like if we feel like whether or not we've had a problem, if we feel like it makes sense to more clearly outline some of those things and maybe adjusting, maybe revising some of those statements under communication would be one way to do that.
So
I don't know. I mean, are you thinking like...
This is just like what somebody else does, but I don't like how it's written at all.
Yeah, I think ours is
a lot better. Like this is, like you said, it's kind of like it implies they have situations in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like ours much better.
The mission part is just changed whenever we take up that project. That's coming this year, right? So, innovate, collaborate, inspire is still the mission, right? Mm-hmm. But the statement below it, I don't remember when we wrote that. It's actually, I don't know how picky you guys want to get, but I don't think it's accurate. Governance team, board, superintendent, treasurer represents the needs and interests of all the students in our district while respecting the community values, beliefs, and priorities.
You don't think that's accurate?
No, I don't. I think we are, as elected officials, we're elected to represent the voters of the district. Our mission is to educate all the students in the district. But we're not representing the students, we're representing the voters. And I think the superintendent and treasurer, they're in a different position from us altogether with respect to that. I don't know how do you think of your place with respect to the community?
Yeah, so I think the focus when this first went together was to be a team. Mm-hmm. I think there was a presence of the board at one point and
the superintendent and treasurer. Yeah.
And the idea was that we were collaborative in nature and it should be more of a governance structure. Mm-hmm. And that's how that came. I hear what you're saying about represents the needs and interests for all students, where that might seem to be more timeline responsibility, maybe, but that's the background that I would think.
I
think we should all do that.
I read that as the voters, we respect the community values. That's the voters. They voted for us, so we respect their value, belief, and priorities to take care of our kids. That's how I read that.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think that this is a little philosophical, isn't it? But since it's here and we're talking about it, we're elected, we represent the community. okay, now there can be conflicts between some of the stakeholders in the community and this other part, which is educating every student in the district. There could be people in the community who are like, this is too expensive. We need to pull back here. And we still represent those people. You see my point?
We represent them, but as a governance team, we do what's best for the kids, regardless of whether they feel that, just like the mask, that, you know, we're going to do what we feel is right for the children, no matter what the community thinks, in my opinion.
Well, that's the philosophical part, isn't it?
Yeah. Because really, an elected official has to choose one of two, and most would vote. But you choose one of two roles. Either you've been elected to use your good judgment for the betterment of your community, or you've been elected to be essentially a mirror of the community, of the as you're saying, the voters. Now, in the roles that we have, and the roles any elected official has, typically you do both. You know, there's times when you will apply your own judgment because you think what you're hearing from some of the community doesn't reflect the best thing to do. And you have knowledge and a vision that the public does not have. You have information. It's kind of like the five of us. Mm-hmm. Our superintendent treasurer has information that we don't have. And, you know, we empower them to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And they try to utilize all of that information. And because of the diversity in our community, I don't know that our community will ever be of one mind. You know, there'll never be unanimity. There may be a majority or a consensus. But I think as elected leaders, that's what we're trying to weigh is, you know, where is the community's majority or consensus? You know, where's that goal? And then, from my standpoint, I have to use my judgment to say, like with the mask issue, if a majority of our district wants to get rid of masks, there's rules and regulations and other things that I have to consider and make a decision that, you know, weighs all of that stuff also, that the community may or may not, you know, want to consider.
And is it just a matter of semantics? Like, for example, if it said the Board of Education as elected officials coupled with the superintendent and treasurer make up the governance team. The collective responsibility is to represent the needs and interests of all students in the district.
I
don't think that's true. That's not a true statement. None of our job is to represent the needs and interests of students. Our job is to run the school district in the best way possible, which usually means in the needs and interests of the students. But there can be conflicts between different groups in the community.
But Brian, I'm sorry. Never mind. I'm interrupting. Go ahead and finish up.
I'm agreeing with Diana. It's a semantic issue.
Right.
And I can't. For time to do it, I've just, since we're going through it statement by statement,
I kind of go back to when we had our work session with Kim and when we did this book study and they talked about the moral imperative, and I remember you saying, what is our moral imperative is exactly that, to provide the best educational opportunities for all of our students. And so I would argue that is definitely a role of the board.
Well, what if we just put that down?
Well, and so if you look at this other...
That's the moral imperative.
Why don't you put it? Well, I'm looking at number 15 on this other example. So they don't, instead of having that extra segment that, like we have in ours, they just added number 15, children's interests come first. The board will represent the needs and interests of all the children in our district. So, you know, maybe
presence that represents these values.
Pardon me?
That represents these values.
Yeah.
Values, or even advocates.
Uh-huh.
It is a semantic thing, because when I hear the word represent, I'm thinking about, oh, I'm elected,
right,
or whom I elected by. I'm representing the city.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, I guess one thought I have is if we take that statement out there, but instead under general governance team, maybe number one, because I do feel like that our moral imperative is exactly that. I mean, you know, that's really our main focus. So what if we put something under general governance team to that effect, something about how, you know, kind of like how you were saying, Diane, as elected officials of the Marysville School Board, and combined in concert with our superintendent and treasurer, we agree that our number one job is to whatever provide the best opportunities for all of our students. I mean, kind of like that Marysville guarantee.
Yeah, it's like a priority in my mind. Like,
yeah,
prioritizes. Needs and interests of all students in our district.
Yeah, that works. Take that out and put it under general governance team as a central priority that we seven all affirm as of now. I mean, somebody might come in and try to rock the boat, but right now I think we all agree that it's an imperative to serve the needs, the educational needs of every student in the district.
Yeah.
And I like the word every instead of all, personally. That's our
yes.
focus. Every single student.
Yes.
So we're going to take out our whole statement up here?
Just the, not the top one, but just underneath our mission.
Okay.
And kind of reword that and put it under general governance team.
So the governance team, board, superintendent, treasurer, what are you going to put in the word represent?
Well,
I would say something like collaborates to promote the education needs and interests of every student in the district.
I kind of like the brevity of children's interests come first. Or children's interests are the highest priority.
Or instead of children's, every single student.
Well, see, they've got represent, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The needs and interests of all the children in our district. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, when I ran, I don't agree with that. But you didn't run to represent the children of the district.
But now that you have
the
been...
community, the entire community, and the community's interest in educating the children.
But after you have been serving now for 8 years,
yeah,
would you, does that change? I mean, like, do you understand that now that you are a board member, I mean, you represent the community, but your real work is focusing on every single student in our district. I mean, everything that we do is to support every single student in our district. I mean, that's kind of how I see it. So whether you know, when I ran, I didn't really understand what the board's role was, but now that I've been on it, I do understand. I'm an elected official, and people have voted for us because they trust, they either liked us, they trusted our judgment, they didn't like somebody else, you know, whatever.
I agree that every child's educational interest should be a priority, even the first priority.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
What I'm saying I don't agree with is that I, as a school board member, am representing their interests. I'm just not. Sometimes I'm representing a parent who called me and was having trouble with childcare. Sometimes I'm representing the interests of a teacher whose department is falling apart. Sometimes I'm going to be representing a taxpayer who feels like... Mm-hmm.
So taking representing out and just changing it to advocating or... Right. Something like that.
If we all agree that it's our first priority, then that could be driven that simply, right?
I just don't like collaborate because it says part of our mission.
The governance team
will advocate for the needs and interests of every student.
As a first priority.
As a first priority.
Like that?
Okay.
The governance team will advocate
the needs and interests of every student. Take
every
all.
Single, yes, for every single.
Every
four,
every student in our district. What's wrong with
and
that?
We could say academic and social emotional needs of every single student.
I think you're getting too wordy.
Okay.
The governor
as first priority, the governance team will advocate for the needs.
No, advocate.
I'm the worst.
Yeah.
I have to see it somewhere.
For the needs and interests of every student in our district. I mean, the more simpler you make it and not so
right.
agile, it's, you know.
I would, just as a part of our discussion, not for inclusion, I do represent the students, as when we have discussions. And I have to bring the students' interests to the front. If I'm talking to someone in the community, I'm an advocate for the kids. And I think that while I've been elected by our community, they've entrusted me in this position to be the advocate for the kids.
In the school.
To represent their interests. We may in a few years be asking for more money. And the money is not for the school board, it's not for the superintendent, it's not for the directly for the teachers. It is for and on behalf of the best interest of the kids. We need money to buy all supplies to attract and retain the best teachers and do all of those kinds of things. So.
Okay, so I've got taking out that first statement, first number under general governance team, as a first priority, the governance team will advocate for the needs and interests of every single student in the district.
I would think that's simple. Again, that's just kind of being replicate, every
okay.
student.
As first priority, the governance team will advocate for the needs and interests of every student in the district.
Yeah. But we're not going to keep in while respecting the community's values, beliefs, and priorities. Because I think that's who we are.
You can keep it in, right? Yeah, I think that
keep
way
that
fine
in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we.
Yep.
Our community is always.
Doing that one more time. I'm just trying.
Okay.
To put it on Google Docs. So
yes. Okay.
I'm sorry.
As a first priority, the governance team will advocate for the needs and interests of every student in the district, while respecting the community's values, beliefs, and priorities.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number one under
yes.
governance.
Yes. And I think what we'll do right after general governance team in parentheses, I'll put board superintendent, we should put board superintendent and treasurer.
Yeah.
Since
under the general governance.
Yes.
Yeah, in the parentheses. Yep. I agree. That lumps it all together there.
Yep.
And then we'll be number one and that'll be number two.
Yes, all of those numbers will change.
Yeah.
Okay. any other, anything else under governance, general governance team?
Oh, I thought you were just
going to read. Okay. So number one, the governance team accepts responsibility for all board decisions, regardless of how an individual votes.
Yeah.
Fine with that.
Yeah.
Number two, individual board members do not have authority. Board authority is based on majority vote. That's good. Number three, the board, with the assistance of the superintendent and treasurer, establishes the vision, creates policies, and assures accountability for the district. The superintendent manages the schools. My only thought was the board with the assistance of the superintendent and treasurer. I feel like it's more of a collaborative effort or something. I mean, like, really, you've kind of developed the vision, and you know, so I don't know what you guys think.
Why wouldn't we, since we're the whole general governance team that you're putting up there, the board superintendent treasurer?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we just put the governor?
The governance team.
Governance team
establishes the vision.
Establishes the vision. Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
I think so too.
And I don't, you know, we can have the superintendent manages the schools, but I don't know if that's
needs to be in there.
Yeah. Or if we do that, we need to say the treasurer counts the money.
That's right.
Well,
I think part of the reason that we did that is that a lot of school boards have a problem with board members being very interested in day-to-day activities.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So that was kind of the way of saying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's
so
any other like in
something like the superintendent and treasurer manage the day to day
manage the
operations of the school.
Okay.
Instead or just manage the operations
yeah.
of the school,
I think,
instead of day to
day.
Yes.
The superintendent and treasurer
manage
the operations of the schools.
Manage.
Or the school's operations. Mm-hmm. Which one is better? Operations of the schools.
Manage the day-to-day
operations.
Of the school district.
Of the school district. That's good.
Manage.
Which the day-to-day one? Day-to-day operations.
Or daily.
Of the school district.
I shared it.
Now read it and see if you can.
Okay. The governance team establishes the vision, creates policies, and assures accountability for the district. The superintendent and treasurer manage the day-to-day operations of the district.
Yeah, you don't even have to put school of the district. You go. Again, it's a little bit wordy.
Mm-hmm. Okay with that? Number four, which will be five, the superintendent, chief executive officer, and the treasurer, chief financial officer, recommend, propose, or suggest items that go before the board.
Okay, that was the one I asked about earlier.
Right.
Is it implicit that the board members also do that?
Well, I think they're talking about, we're talking about like things that need to be voted on. Board members can always suggest resolutions, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, that's right, that's my point.
Yeah.
So, and when you're doing the agenda, for instance, both of you are making suggestions and recommendations, correct?
But I think when they're talking about suggest items that go for the, I think maybe that wording is, maybe the intent was items that need board approval, you know? So like we may suggest things that go on the agenda that are just presentations.
So why don't
I'm thinking this is more
before the board for approval.
I mean, the agenda is our agenda. That's
right.
The board's agenda. Mm-hmm. It is not the superintendent's. It's not the treasurer's.
It's the board's.
So, right. So when they're talking about proposing or suggesting items that go before the board, I think we need to change the wording so that it's clear. We're not talking about suggest items to be on the agenda. We're talking about business items that need approved, that need board approval.
Or suggest items that go before the board for approval.
We just completely changed that.
Why is this one here?
I know. That's like, do we need to have something in there?
If there is, then we leave it in.
Yeah.
We have the word may. So the superintendent and treasurer may recommend, propose, or suggest items to go before the board.
Well,
maybe other people don't have that privilege. I don't know.
So, okay, here we go. Like on this, here's on the sample one. They've got the superintendent is the chief executive officer and should make recommendations, proposals, or suggestions on most matters that come before the board.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's kind of the intent of this. That's number 8 on the sample school board operating protocol.
So suggest most items. You could just add most in there. See? So it says the same thing. Suggest most items that go before the board.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a different statement. That other one is saying that you guys give us suggestions on items that come up before us. That's different from saying they suggest which items come before us. That's how I was reading number 4. There's a difference between commenting on an item that's in front of us and suggesting an item to put on up for a vote. So which is intended there?
I read number 4 to say it's our duty.
Yes.
Bring items before the board.
For approval.
The board can't suggest their own items. We're
right.
Limiting anything.
And I think if whatever word, if you say the board's agenda and put the agenda in the control of the board, the superintendent and treasurer recommend, propose, or suggest items to go before the board, or to place items on the board's agenda.
I mean, the board's agenda is written with superintendent's recommendation, right? So
yeah.
That
right.
Which seems to make sense, and yours are recommendations, right?
Right.
Recommend.
By law, we have to have your recommendation
correct.
For personnel issues and a whole variety of different things.
How about if we word suggest in there? I mean, really, if you look at it,
we can just say that the superintendent and the treasurer are responsible for recommending and proposing items for board approval. I don't know.
I like for board approval. Before the board for approval.
To go before the board for approval.
Because that's what they do. We have to vote on it, what they're doing. And I think you can take out suggest.
You can say consideration if you don't want approval.
Okay, yeah, for consideration.
Yes, I like that.
So it said the superintendent and the treasurer are responsible for recommending items to the board for consideration.
Okay, say that again, Maya.
The superintendent and the treasurer are responsible for recommending items to the board for consideration.
I like that. Makes it a lot simpler.
That sounds fun.
Okay, so the superintendent and the treasurer are responsible for recommending items to the board for consideration.
They can finish
okay.
The right relationship.
Yep.
I did share this Google Doc with all of you already.
Thank you.
I'm trying to keep up.
Thank you. I'm in the process of getting, this is like the last, I have a new laptop, so I'm in the process of changing things, and so my new laptop isn't set up yet, and That's my excuse for not having the Google Doc.
What'd you go with?
Lenovo.
Okay.
Thanks to one of our internship programs, I met somebody from Linear Technologies, and so I'm working with them.
Is that the ThinkPad?
Yes, it's an idea pad.
Okay, mine's a ThinkPad.
15.6, yeah.
But I have that one at home.
Okay. All right, so are we good with general governance team section? Anything else that pops up? I don't know if you want to add something or not, but number 5 in that sample school board operating protocol exemplify the governance role. The leadership team will support the policies our district currently has in place. We'll continue to annually study and review policies for effectiveness and appropriately engage key stakeholders in the development or deletion of policies and policy revisions. We will maintain and apply district policies consistently while being cognizant of and recognizing the potential uniqueness of any given situation. The only reason that kind of jumps out at me is just because policies are, overseeing the policies is one of our 3 roles. And I don't know that we have anything in here that, in our current one.
Or do you think this is the first step?
Yeah, maybe we don't need all of that.
Right.
But maybe just acknowledging that we'll support the policies our district currently has in place and continue to annually study and review policies for effectiveness.
I would like to remove the annual.
Okay.
Because I think
yes.
That...
Yes, and we'll continue, yes.
We'll and I wouldn't say study, I'd say and continue to review policies.
Yes. For effectiveness, period.
Yep.
Okay, so you have that. The leadership team will support the policies our district currently has in place. We will continue to review policies for effectiveness.
Yep, we want ours to say governance, though, correct?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, the governance team. Yep. Support the policies our district has in place. And we'll... continue to review policies.
So we'll support the current policies.
Sure.
I feel like this is kind of
yep, support current policies.
Policies.
Yep. Current policies.
Yep.
We'll support the current policies and
continue to review, maybe review and update policies as needed. Review and revise policies as needed. Or, I don't know if we want to...
I think that we will continue to review policies for effectiveness because you know if it's not effective, we're going to change it.
I'm just not sure I like
or you can put, we will continue to review and update policies.
Review and revise.
Yeah. Review and revise.
Revise.
Which one do you want?
Review and revise policies.
As needed. Review and revise as needed. Okay.
That's it, right? You're not going to add that last sentence of number 5?
Correct.
Number 5 in the sample.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That last sentence doesn't really, I don't think it does very much.
Right. Right. So that would end up being number 6 under governance team.
Right.
Right.
I actually have it as number 7, but I couldn't mess something up, so when you review the thing that might be off, I might have counted the definition of the governance team as 1.
Okay, where it says Board Superintendent Treasurer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just the title. So then the...
Okay.
As a first priority is 1.
Now I'm good.
Okay. Okay, good with governance team?
Yep.
Communications. All personnel complaints and criticisms received by the board or its individual members are directed to the superintendent so that issue may be dealt with by the superintendent.
So I suggest we say directed to the superintendent to be dealt with, because that's redundant there. To the superintendent to be dealt with by the superintendent. See what I mean?
Yeah, let's see that.
You can cut the whole thing out, the whole last bit out. All personnel complaints and criticisms received by the board.
Yeah, can be directed to the superintendent, period.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because we don't really, the way I was reading it, there was an obligation for the superintendent to take action of some kind, and there may or may not be.
Indeed.
Action that's needed.
Yeah, but maybe some that don't rise to the level. Yeah,
somebody could give us a complaint that doesn't have any merit or is not based in reality.
Right.
And
right.
So the superintendent.
Yeah, there would be no action required.
There would not be any action in that situation. I mean, if it's a misunderstanding or miscommunication or whatever.
Okay, good. So we're all in agreement to just strike everything after the first superintendent.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, board members do not initiate communications regarding school district business or personnel complaints and criticisms directly to staff members.
Okay, so number two, is actually saying quite a bit, isn't it? And I'm imagining situations, either in our district or others, where board members would walk into a school building and start criticizing somebody or something, or get on the phone and do the same thing. That's what this is trying to address, correct?
Yes, yeah. Like you're in Kroger, you see somebody, you see a teacher in Kroger, and you say, oh my gosh, can you believe what so-and-so is planning, you know, what
or you don't go to a principal and complain about one of the teachers.
Okay, right. Can we just add a word? Mm-hmm. Tell me if you think this reads a little better. Board members do not initiate communications regarding school district business, comma, or lodge personnel complaints and criticisms directly to staff members. So it's like there's a verb missing in that second clause.
Gotcha.
That's the point,
right.
We don't directly criticize staff ourselves, correct?
Could you read that one more time?
So board members do not initiate communications regarding school district business, that's the same, comma, or lodge, or some other similar verb, or lodge personnel complaints and criticisms directly for staff members.
Okay.
Or we could say voice, if you like that better, we don't voice complaints directly.
Maybe
staff.
Voice.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think voice.
Voice, I think, is more clear.
Yep.
Okay. I think I get that one. That's pretty clear.
I like that. I like that too.
Because
otherwise, initiate is the verb that's being connected to it.
Yeah, that's
so,
a little bit.
Okay, so we're good with number two now?
Yep.
Number three, if approached by staff with a concern or complaint, the board member both refers the staff member to the person who can properly address the issue and informs the superintendent.
Yep.
Okay. That's pretty clear.
I think it is.
Yep.
This is...
Number three. Yeah. I'm just thinking about board member Andy. Sorry. I just think about him every once in a while. So, okay. Number four. The board follows the chain of command regarding communications with members of the community. Board members respond to inquiries and or concerns by both referring the community member to the person who can properly and expeditiously address the issue and informing the superintendent.
Okay, I'm going to make a suggestion that the first sentence is cut. Because I think that's what the second sentence is the chain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Board members respond to community inquiries, right?
Yes.
And or concerns by and then the rest stays.
Yes.
So when you keep chain of command in there, you could say that board follows a chain of command by responding to community inquiry that way.
Well, it's up to you guys. I don't.
No,
I don't know what the chain of command is until somebody teaches me. So to me, it's weird to have it in.
Chain of command is that's like you start at the lowest level, the person who's directly involved in the situation. So a community member hits you up in Kroger and says, you know, my son's teacher is giving way too much homework. He goes, well, have you talked to the teacher? Yes. Have you gone to the principal? No. Well, let's schedule a meeting with the principal. And I'm going to let our superintendent know, too, so we can make sure that you get all the information you need and the follow-up, if any additional follow-up is needed, something like that.
So what did you say, Diane?
I like,
follows the chain of command
by
responding.
Yeah.
And I liked what Brian said with community
before. By
responding to
community inquiries.
Yeah.
Or concerns. I think that's correct. That's what we do, right?
Yep.
Send them to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Often you don't want to go to that person, but that's our job is telling that.
Yeah.
The only thing I know how Mr. Devine is that we put two communities in the same sentence. So we inquire and or concerns by referring the person
with the inquiry or concern. Oh no, by referring the person. By referring the person. To the appropriate staff or to the staff member instead of to the person to the
so
staff
take
member.
Out by referring the community member to the person who can.
Right now. The board follows the chain of command by responding to community inquiries and or concerns by both referring the
community member. That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay if there's two. That's okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I know, yeah. I'll do a little thesaurus.
Why can't we do this? The board follows the chain of command in response to inquiries and or concerns by both referring the community member to the person who can properly.
It doesn't really matter where community goes, I guess, is what you're...
Why do we have to have, like, all that whole sentence?
Because if I respond to inquiries and concerns from... The board follows the chain of command by responding to inquiries and concerns from community members by referring them to the... How about that? Okay. The board follows the chain of command by responding to inquiries and or concerns from community members by referring them to the staff or to the person who can properly and expeditiously address the issue. Did you get that? And I don't know, does that sound? The board follows the chain of command by responding to inquiries and or concerns from community members by referring them to the person who can properly and expeditiously address the issue.
Very good.
And informing the superintendent.
Yeah.
This is a grammar lesson, isn't it?
What I do every day.
I mean, this is probably me splitting words, but do you need expeditiously? Maybe you just need it.
Who can properly address the issue? Yes.
Address the issue and
yes. Proper. Yes. Yeah. Who can address? Yes. Referring them to the person who can address. Who can address the issue?
Right.
You don't even have to say proper. Can address the issue, and informing the superintendent.
Okay.
I responded to, and informing the superintendent. Okay.
So, I'm going to be philosophical since
okay.
I'm reading philosophy on the
We said we're going to do more of that this year anyway. Yeah.
So how does that fall in line with, number one, being an elected official, you know, that's supposed to represent the community, okay, and then how does that fall in line with closing the loop of communication? So, you know, it's two completely separate questions, but number one, as an elected official, you know, mm-hmm. we have to listen to
right.
what people say.
Right.
And we can direct it, you know, to the proper authority, but that
right.
that person is still going to expect us to have heard that
the solution
issue, that issue, okay?
Okay.
So even though they may hear back from a principal or mm-hmm. whoever it might be,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure this has happened to all of you, mm-hmm. is that person will look back around to you and ask you, well, follow-up questions, and you're like,
mm-hmm. no, because I told you we don't have anything to do with that, and this is what the protocol is, mm-hmm. and we are not in the day-to-day operations of the district. So if you pull yourself out of there and say, that's not our job, we're not allowed to go into the day-to-day, we're not allowed in the weeds.
It's a overarching issue.
But it's not our job. And what you have to understand is we are up here, we're not down here. We don't operate the schools.
If it's an overarching issue and somebody comes and says, I don't like the way the district does this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's affecting my child and so forth. So you say, okay, you need to talk to the teacher, you need to talk to the building principal about your specific situation. We're also going to inform the superintendent, and so the superintendent can at that point look and see, okay, how is this affecting people in other buildings?
Mm-hmm.
How is it affecting other teachers in the district or whatever? And to me, you know, I've said, you know, that's not what I do as a board member a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our role is to try to help direct and facilitate communication so that the staff at the lowest level of the chain of command and our superintendent can look at things and kind of follow up, address it, and then we can have future conversations with the superintendent. Hey, remember, I told you
yes.
about this issue. You know,
what happened? Yeah.
You know, is this common in other buildings, or is this something that we need to look at in terms of a new policy or a new approach?
So it's the board member's responsibility to close the communication.
Well, I think if somebody has come to me with an issue before, and I say, you know, try and lead them in the right direction, and then I'll frequently say, you know, let me know if you're not satisfied. You know, I mean, we're gonna let the superintendent know, and you know, by all means, feel free to come back to me if you feel like they're not hearing you or something like that, and we'll just make sure that everybody's on the same page. And you know, we may not agree at the end of the day, but I want you to feel like you have the conversations that you need. I do think, like, just kind of know, are you talking about knowing the final result of an issue?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
How did that go?
Like getting back.
How did that discussion
right.
go?
Okay.
Because a lot of times they do loop back to me and they're unhappy and I have no idea about. The only thing I can say, well, you know, go back to the principal or the assistant superintendent, whoever they talk to.
But, and it, like, if somebody would come back to me and they're unhappy, then I would definitely, you know, let Diane know. So, well, sounds like they had that conversation, but, you know, maybe you guys thought it went well, but according to what they told me, it didn't go so well. And that has happened, I think, in the past. And I've talked to Diane, and they have revisited some things, and additional phone calls happen. And then I can remember one specific time, and things did end up much better because some of the things that the person had told me, when they had a second conversation with the building principal, some things came out that the person told me was not completely accurate, you know, and so they kind of had a come to Jesus meeting, like, okay, if you know, that was your perception, you didn't share that with me, and vice versa, and everybody ended up better. But my role was still to let Diane know if we moved them in the right direction and they weren't happy and they came back, then you follow up. And I do feel like a lot of times we'll get emails when, you know, I know, like, we've gotten some emails from principals before that said, hey, I've had the conversation, this person had an issue, we had the conversation, things went well. Sometimes we don't get a lot of details, but it's just really all we need to know is things went well. So, and if you want more information, we can always call, I think.
Too, sometimes, like, you have that conversation, say, start with the teacher, but you notify me.
Yeah.
That teacher isn't necessarily going to tell me what happened. So I do see what you're saying, too. So I call the principal and say, hey, you know, you need to touch base with the teacher. So then it's three times removed by the time I have, hey, we have a resolution. I think that's some of the examples that I can think of that.
Yeah.
Then the parents said, well, that's not what happened. So then we have to restart.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of see it. If there was an initial issue and you direct them to the teacher and they don't get satisfaction with the teacher, then you have essentially, in my mind, the second issue was that there was no resolution. And to me, that goes back to number one. You know, you then communicate, hey, I told them to go to the teacher. Mm-hmm. They came back to me and told me that the teacher disagreed with them and nothing's going to change, mm-hmm. and they're not happy about it. I'm going to communicate that to Diane because it's now not the original issue. It was I didn't get the result that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a different issue. And
then you go to the building principal. That's the next level. And still let, then, like you said, always let Diane know,
Does that
clear it up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm just saying that that this happens a lot because people, like the one woman that came to the board meeting one night said, you're all politicians. And I kind of laughed a little bit inside because, I don't view us as politicians at all.
Right.
Okay.
I saw you.
I was just like, I think school boards are unique in that we have a more clear primary directive than.
Right. It's not party directed or anything like that.
So I just think that people come to us, though, mm-hmm. and they expect.
They think we're the ones that run the whole school. They have no clue what we do.
And I've tried to have conversations and explain it to everyone, but for every person you tell, there's three more behind that still don't think that's how things work. So.
Yep.
And you're going to find a lot of people, if they don't get the answer they want, mm-hmm. are going to come to you and tell you a little bit different story mm-hmm. to try to get you to agree with them. Mm-hmm. So they can go with, you know what I mean? So you know how people are. Mm-hmm. You know, they decide that they're going to, oh, that didn't work out in my favor, so now I'm going to go to the right.
Okay. So let's see. We are now to, we're okay with number four.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, superintendent responds directly to the board member initiating communication within a timely manner.
It should say in a timely manner.
In a timely manner.
I believe.
Yes, I agree with that.
Now that one, does that need to be in there? Like, that seems like almost something that, I don't want to say it goes without saying, does it?
I'm wondering, I mean, I think, so communications, I guess in my mind, I'm thinking if a board member reaches out to the superintendent with a question, superintendent responds in a timely manner, but I'm thinking, like, and copies the entire board or something? I mean, is that, I guess I'm thinking, what is our practice right now? You know, it's like if somebody reaches out to you with a question, generally speaking, I think we try and inform.
Yeah, but a lot of times not on those specific ones.
Right.
Like a complaint.
Right.
So like one I brought to you not too long ago, that would need to be addressed to everyone.
Right. Okay. I think you guys go through Sue, right?
Yes. I know, yeah.
I wasn't sure what this meant.
Okay.
Like if it's linked to the one above, like that's how I was reading it at first. Like if you bring a complaint to me,
right?
Then I circle back and say that conversation has happened.
But then we might recommend the person come to you, which it wouldn't be us being involved; it would be the person that we direct to you. So I don't know if we can put those two together. You see what I mean? So it might be the person and not us calling you.
But is it better that a completely separate issue when the board members make a request for information on something?
Right.
I don't know.
And is that, and like you said, if that's the case, does that need to, is that something that needs to be in here? You know, is that really an issue or not?
I'm
you say strike it.
We eliminate number five.
I don't think we need number five. If we were sending things to Diane and then we were never hearing back,
yeah,
we would tell her I'd like to hear back from you on these things, and that would be it. I don't think we need to put it in a high level document like this.
I agree. I don't think we need it either.
And there may even be things where we forward to her and we never want to hear back on it again.
Yeah, we'll report them, but don't call us back.
Yeah.
We don't want to know the result. Just take care of yourself.
Just take care of it. Right. Okay, so we're in agreement. We can get rid of five. All right. Number six, the board president is the liaison.
Number five.
Which is now going to be number five. The board president is the liaison between the board and the administration. The superintendent is the liaison between the administration staff and the board. Open and professional discussion is encouraged and expected.
I like it.
So my question is, I mean, like, is this, this is one of those things, do we follow it, you know? I mean, I think the reality is, I mean, we've been a team for a while, so I know that, I think a lot of times if you guys have reached out to Diane, many times you don't tell me first. You might say a little bit later, oh, by the way, I touched base with Diane about something, you know.
I think I follow it most of the time, and I like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the third sentence. It's like, of course it's expected.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Why do we have to say it?
So you don't
it just makes you think something was going on with that board.
I agree.
Somebody was being bitchy or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would. I mean, what we have really been following is not the board president as a liaison with others on the governance team, but really as a liaison to public communication. We've kind of delegated to Sue the responsibility to answer emails, which took up the better part of 2 days.
Yes.
Thank you, Sue.
And
you're
so
welcome.
I think if we're going to have something in here like this, the board president acts as the communications liaison with the community. And I think it's important that we as a board designate one voice to speak for the board to the community rather than each of us being our own press secretary.
I don't know if you're going to that side.
Okay.
I don't put myself
in there. Well, so between the board, the administration, and the community. Is that what you're saying in sentence one?
I'm looking at on one of our other samples here, the one with red on it.
Yeah.
In the bottom section there, Board of Education members to the superintendent. On number five, it says on board matters, the board president serves as the spokesperson for the board. I don't know if that can be if we could kind of use that as a basis for talking about.
I mean, if we had an issue and a television station said we want to interview a board member, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to point my finger and say, you need to go talk to Sue. and typically in public communication requests, those are going to go to the superintendent because that's
right.
day to day.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think you could say the board president is the spokesperson for the board.
Uh-huh.
Serves as the liaison between the board and the and administration. There's too many buttons in there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well,
or you don't want that in there anymore.
Well, I mean, I guess.
I think it's right if you say the first time, Diane.
Yeah.
The board president is the liaison between the board, comma, administration, and community. Yeah, you know, she does all three. And you said it right in the beginning by adding that on. We're getting too wordy with it when it's pretty simple.
Or just the spokesperson. I don't know.
Liaison's a little more professional, though.
I like liaison because there may be cases where you designate one of us to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the liaison.
Right. Yes.
I use you as a liaison with the other board members too.
Right.
If something comes up and I don't know if you guys are thinking about it, I go to you.
Yes. Yep.
So the board president is the liaison between the board, administration, and community.
Right.
How about acts as a liaison among the governance team.
Well, okay, because like Diane, you also are a liaison with the community, you know?
So we need to add that down there on her. Superintendent is a liaison between the administration, staff, board, and community. So she.
I think the original intent was,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken, that internal. If a board member had something they were going to call the superintendent about,
mm-hmm.
they would call the superintendent, but let Sue know that happened.
Right.
I don't
yes.
know that we do that. We just
right.
You
right.
call me.
Right.
We talk about it. We discuss it. And
right.
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 So if that no longer serves the purpose, then you
right.
take it out, or unless you
want to.
Right. Normally,
yes.
I tell you. Anything.
I know. Yeah. Usually in follow-up conversations, either with another board member or with you, it'll come up, and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe just. So we could. I mean, I'm fine if we take out the first sentence.
Take out what?
I'm fine if we take out the first sentence, or, you know, if you guys feel it needs to be in there, or just keep it in and knowing the way that we do it. Is working
to be in there.
Okay.
Because part of the purpose of this document is
yes.
not necessarily for us.
Yes.
Anybody
but for future.
It is for future people coming in, but it's also
right.
a document for the community to look at and reference.
Right.
Well, that's why.
Okay.
What's in the Michigan direct thing?
Yes.
The board president serves as the spokesperson for the board.
Or the liaison. Oh.
Okay. The superintendent is the liaison between the administration and staff. And maybe an ad and the spokesperson.
They both have a community responsibility.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's a separate thing. Maybe that's a separate thing.
I would say the board president is the liaison between the board and the administration. The superintendent is the liaison between the administrative staff and the board.
Yes.
Number six would be the board president acts as the spokesperson.
Yeah.
On board matters or something. Where is it at? On board matters, the board president serves as the spokesperson for the board. That's number five. On board matters, the board president serves as...
On board matters?
On board matters, the board president serves as the spokesperson for the board. That's number five. That's number five on the red-lined sample.
And then what do you think my spokesperson regarding the church music?
I think we need something about speed it up.
On district matters.
Okay.
The superintendent.
Because you heard both.
Okay. Yes.
There are times.
Yes.
When Sue is going to speak for the board.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many more times you are going to speak for the district.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
We could say superintendent and or treasurer because there are financial matters that Todd needs to speak to.
I think probably it ought to say the treasurer and the superintendent.
He loves being that spokesperson.
That item helps us too. If somebody from the media calls us, we just say it's our policy that official communications come from the board president.
Yeah.
So now we just made six and seven, right?
Well, I think we can combine that.
Together.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Serves as spokesperson. Mm-hmm. Superintendent treasurer serves as spokesperson.
Okay.
Board district.
Board and district manager. Okay.
Like
good. Are we done with communication?
Yeah. Yes.
Moving on to school board meetings. Number one, to the extent possible, agenda items are submitted to the board president and or superintendent in advance of the meeting. Surprises to the board, treasurer, or the superintendent are the exception, not the rule.
This might be a big issue because it's a top...
Surprises.
That was Jeff Baby. He hated surprises.
Yeah. Well, and I can see where somebody would walk into a board meeting and say, you know, I want to talk about this tonight, or I want to take this action tonight.
Yeah.
And I think our practice of having an agenda published to the board with time that we can review, prepare for the items that are on there, and if...
There aren't any shopping list capsules of it.
Are you going shopping now, Nick?
My phone does things that I can't...
I understand.
But, you know, I think it would be questionable practice to make a decision at a board meeting without time to process it, to research it. And I could see where maybe Diane walks in and said, well, you know, the roof fell in over here, or, you know, we had a fire in this building, we need to make a decision tonight about something. So I can see, you know, that there will be exceptions. But
for now, I'm not able to do...
So is everybody okay with number one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, the board speaks to the issues on the agenda and encourages respectful, open discussion between all members of the governance team. I think that's fine. Number three, board members review agenda items prior to board meetings and request any additional information from the superintendent or the treasurer prior to the meeting. If a board member believes he doesn't have enough information or has questions, the superintendent, the treasurer, or the board president is contacted before the meeting. As a result of this preparation, board meetings center on focused discussion, decision-making, action, and voting.
So this one, I have two comments. One, the second sentence is a little redundant from the first. Board members review agenda items and request additional information.
Yes.
Prior to the meeting. So we already said that. I think you could cut sentence two.
Okay.
And then sentence three is at a little bit of tension with what we thought we might start doing after we had our workshop with Kim Miller-Smith. I think we have had meetings that are very much focused on this discussion, decision-making, action, and voting, but not a lot of open-ended discussion, not a lot of, like, the community doesn't get to see us discussing any of the big, maybe that's a little scary for us, actually, to have an open-ended discussion in front of the public. But I thought we decided we may want to do a little more of that, a little more exploring our values, so to speak.
Which I think would still need to be an agenda item, you know, so we would have, if we want to add an agenda item, discussion on our district strategic direction, or,
take the word focused out. Board meetings center on discussion, decision-making, action, and voting. To me, focused discussion seemed like, it doesn't give you a lot of room for exploration.
I don't know. I think that I feel like
it has to be focused on agenda
item. Okay,
I see. Sentence one.
Yes.
All right. So one agenda item could be, let's discuss our mission. Our
right.
Mission.
Like, if we decide,
and that's still a focused discussion because it's not.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's how I would. Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's like, if we want to do that every quarter or something, we want to have a little deeper dive into something. So yeah.
So the point is, we don't get off on discussions that are not anywhere on the agenda. That's
correct.
Yes.
Correct. And I agree. I'm fine with taking out sentence two.
I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
it
really doesn't result in anything.
Right.
It just says
the same thing.
I haven't gotten enough information, so I'm going to tell
you. Which it already tells you to do that.
Right. Okay. Good. Number four, board members respect the confidentiality of all privileged information, especially information discussed in executive session. That's pretty much a no-brainer.
Right.
Okay. Number five, the board bases decisions on the available facts and independent judgment, keeping in mind the interests of all the district students. Do we want to change that interests of every student in the district?
No.
Just keep it interests of all the district students.
Right.
Everybody good with five? Okay. Number six.
Just say interests of all students. It wouldn't be anybody else's district.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interests of all students.
Take out the district.
Of all students.
Well, I do like every, but interests of every student.
I'm okay with putting that in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Interests of every student. Interest of every student. Okay. Number six, the superintendent and or treasurer present major issues to the board for discussion, a minimum of two meetings before a vote is taken. I know that one, I had a question mark on that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I know we've done the deal with policies, that we always have two reads for the policies, but I think when you limit yourself to that...
I mean, like COVID, we didn't have time.
Yes.
That would have been a major issue in my mind.
So why do we have to
have that? Right. So I think we can just take that one off.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Getting the agenda 5 or 6 days before gives me time to ask questions.
Uh-huh.
And we could always, at a board member, at a board meeting, decide not to take action.
Right, right.
At that meeting.
Mm-hmm. And it has been our practice, like with the 5-year forecast, we do two readings of that. I think when we start having levy discussions, we always talk about that for more than one meeting. So yeah, okay, good. Get rid of number six. Going down to professional growth, number one, the board has a responsibility to improve boardmanship skills by attending board training and networking opportunities.
I'll just throw something out, see if you guys like it. The board has a responsibility to continually improve boardmanship skills, period.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of ways to do it.
Yes.
I don't necessarily go to a networking opportunity.
Right.
I don't even know what that is, actually. But,
right.
But you see the point?
No,
I'm
okay with that, yeah. The board has a responsibility to continually improve boardmanship skills. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
good.
Reviewing its goals.
Yeah, number two, the board reviews its goals annually. My only thought was the board sets and reviews its goals annually.
I think we've already set it, though. We already preset our goals.
I mean, but we do, every year we do our work plan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do we always set new ones?
I don't know. Again, maybe we don't need that set. We could just have the board reviews its goals annually. You okay with that? Okay. Good. Well, we've got our first draft of 2021 revised board protocols. We'll take some time to look it over and, you know, possibly have that on the agenda next month to approve. And, if, you know, like if you look it over and a couple things jump out at you, or you feel like, you know, you have a chance to look at some of these other samples and you feel like we need to add or take anything else out, if you need to do another draft, we'll do that. But otherwise.
Okay, just like one thing.
Yes.
Drawing real quick.
Okay.
It's under this one.
Okay.
Clearly state goals. The board will set their goals for themselves and the superintendent. The board and superintendent will set their goals for the district.
Okay.
I kind of like the way that.
Yeah.
Happens.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if that fits in because.
Well, maybe under general governance team?
I don't know. I like the fact that we're putting it out there to the public. Again, mm-hmm. I still feel that this is much more of a public document than.
The other thing I don't like is that it says both sentences say the same thing. So I think you need to mention it in one sentence or whatever.
Well, but it's actually two. I mean, they're in here. It's talking about how the board has our own goals and goals that we agree upon with the. And I would add treasurer too. Goals that we agree upon with the treasurer and superintendent, and then. Maybe the board will set clear goals for themselves, and then the board, superintendent, and treasurer will set clear goals for the district.
If you do it under the general governance,
what are you reading?
On the black and white one, number seven.
Okay. What about under governance, Sue?
Putting it under the general governance team?
The governance team will set clear goals. Period.
For themselves and the district?
Yeah. Like, I mean, because that's goals in all areas.
Uh-huh.
Part of the governance team is that we would all have goals set. Todd, Diane, us.
What can be the best place for it?
Yeah.
So,
under the governance team?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you've already got the governance team establishing the vision.
Add that to number, that's going to be
number four.
It's going to be number four. So the governance team establishes the goals, vision, establishes the vision, creates policy, establishes
vision, goals.
The vision, set goals, create policies, and then
assures accountability.
Could you review? I have that as number three. So number one, I have as a first priority.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
I think, well, is that
number
right?
One is the first priority. That's right.
No,
number two is the governance team accepts responsibility for all board decisions.
Number three was, so it is number four that I'm talking about. Number one is, as a first priority, the governance team will advocate for the needs and interests of every student in the district while respecting the community's values, beliefs, and priorities. Number two, governance team accepts responsibility for all board decisions. Number three, individual. Number four. Does that work, man? I like the idea of including goals in there, because that is, yeah. It's one of those things sometimes, you know, people assume not everybody has them.
The governance team of a vote was like,
oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm not sure I'm there yet.
Gotcha.
The governance team I'll mess up.
Okay, are we good with that?
She's got all the right information. I think it was just the numbers.
Yeah. Okay, while she's working on that, we can move to our proposed headings for new board member orientation pamphlet or workbook, handbook, maybe new board member orientation handbook.
There should be a sheet with that.
Yes. Do you guys want to, one of you guys want to lead this? Since you worked on it together?
Yeah, but Brian can start with the headings.
So do you guys even remember this project? We felt like
yes.
A short booklet could be helpful for incoming board members.
Yeah.
And Nan reminded me that when we came in, we got huge binders. Which
you're exaggerating a little bit.
Like this much. But we want something that's 5 or 10 pages. And it will include some things that we found useful that took us years to learn just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea of it. And then the other thing that came up today when Ann and I were talking is maybe the booklet could be accompanied with like a short meeting, with like a one-on-one meeting with one of the board members and say, okay,
right.
We're trying to help you, you know, hit the ground running. So it could be the booklet plus like a short orientation meeting. And then Nan and I came up, this is essentially a table of contents. We haven't actually written very much yet. I don't know if we've written any. So what we wanted to do tonight is just see if you like these headers, and then maybe there's some others that you think would be helpful. And I have a few particular questions as well about what to do next. So if you want to look at the headers now, you can see that some of what we came up with, we didn't actually get when we joined the district as a board member. I never got a brief history of Marysville schools. I don't think maybe I got a map. A school finance in a nutshell. You see that one top, number five? Like, we're thinking like three, four paragraphs. Just like the overview of how it works. And then
explain school funding in two or three paragraphs.
Yeah, that's a breeze, right?
And then number six, well, we'll have the meeting protocols. We can just carry over from the document a little bit.
Right.
And then number seven, some of the things that we've been talking about this year, some of them are sort of new. Some of them we've been working on for a long time. Governance mindset, division of responsibility, that's really important for a new board member, right?
Right.
Nan mentioned to me today that she's heard about the Sunshine Laws like 18 times. So some of it we do get, like over and over and over again. But I think it's good for a new board member to know, coming in, you can't take gifts from vendors or whatever.
Right.
You know, three or four. And then D and E are more like things that we're continuing to talk about now, like how do we work with each other as board members, and what do we expect in terms of the individual development of the board members. So that's the headers we came up with, and we just wanted to see if you're on board with this, and then I wanted to talk a little bit about how we actually write the document.
Okay. I really like this header. Go ahead, man. You want to?
Just, I've dug out the binder that I got.
Right.
mine was a little bit smaller here, but
yes, I think that was more what mine was. I guess. Yeah.
So this is just board docs, how to get the board docs, when the board meetings are, school calendar, and who's the principal of each school and what's their phone number. Board assignments, and then the operating protocol, and then the goals, and then the last thing that I got was a copy of the strategic plan from 2014.
Okay.
But that stuff is all useful. A new member needs all of that stuff just to orient themselves on a calendar basis, but a new member doesn't know what a lot of that means. Like, so when he's talking about a pamphlet, and I think the pamphlet is good because I think there's a lot of like common sense stuff that someone new coming onto a board isn't going to understand. They're going to have a different perspective. But I also think that this idea of a kind of a mentorship. You said one meeting, and there's, Diane and Todd sit down and have a pretty extensive meeting going over like the whole district and stuff. But I think board member to board member, if number one, it helps establish a relationship one-on-one with whoever the new person would be coming in. But it also helps you maybe add on to whatever this information is. Well, you have questions about this,
Right.
Do you know about, kind of the history? Do you know about sports teams? Do you know about busing? Lots of things like that. People that run for school board, by and large, have a specific agenda in mind when they come on board. And usually what they want to do is something that is not within the power of the board necessarily to do. The other time it's someone that just wants the best for the schools and the community. So that person's a little bit more open. A different person might need a little bit of redirection. Understanding what the bumpers are that you have to put up in this school meeting.
Well, I like what you said about a mentor. That makes more sense. Maybe the new board member gets assigned. It doesn't have to be the board president.
Yeah.
It definitely meets with them, but maybe meets with them a few times over the year. The other thing that we talked about, you guys may or may not be aware of this, but when a board member is elected, they don't know all the education jargon. In fact, they usually know none of it.
Acronyms at your fingertips.
Spending in acronyms.
Yes.
So the point of this pamphlet will be to present what they need to know to get started without all of that. It's going to be written in a colloquial style, using words that ordinary people use.
Like reading, writing,
rhythm. Yeah, the three R's.
So, because the whole point of this is to help them get going.
Right.
So that was the other thing that I talked about. So what do you think about the project?
I think the project is fantastic because, as Leanne was pointing out, if you have somebody comes in and their focus is how can I help the kids in our community, that's one situation. If you have somebody comes in that doesn't like an administrator, doesn't like some staff, whatever, they're going to need to learn, as you, I think, where are the bumpers? What are the real things that as a board member you can do, which is pretty much nothing. As we sit and we take a vote on something, now you can do something.
Right.
But not until that point. And I have seen people that were very vocal, had a very specific agenda, got elected to the board, and they sat at the end of the table and hardly participated at all because they found out that, you know, everything they had thought they were going to be able to do, they couldn't do. And without that, they didn't really have the motivation to participate as a board member.
I love that mentor. Me too. This is great.
Mm-hmm. I know. I like the only thing that I thought about, which I don't know, I don't think I see it in there, but including some kind of a calendar with important dates on. I mean, like having the school calendar, I think that's a good one in there. But just important dates, you know, like I'm thinking as a board member, you want to know your contract dates of your superintendent and treasurer and MEA dates, just some things to keep in your mind, like, oh yeah, we've got to be thinking about these things, you know?
So I'm going to suggest that maybe you jot down some of that because I think you're involved in those activities and we're not.
Right.
So
I know when they come up.
Yeah,
when
Well, and that, and I can kind of work with Diane and Todd too and Dick too as well, just to kind of go through, because every once in a while I'll just kind of look back through the agendas from different meetings, you know, or my notes and stuff, like, oh yeah, that's the month where we approved supplemental contracts or classified or
I was doing that a while
things like that. Well, yeah, thank you. Like you, yes, and Amy has reminded me. I've forgotten it a few times too, so.
I'd rather do an item of important dates than a school calendar, because the school calendar is already available.
Right.
And there's so many dates that we need to know that aren't on that calendar.
Right.
So maybe that's the way.
Okay, yep.
Well, the school calendar is going to come with this stuff.
Okay.
Because this stuff still needs to happen.
I think
that
that stuff still needs to happen.
Right. I just don't think we've updated. You know, like, we got some of those new books, and I doubt if anything's been updated for quite a while, you know?
Probably Michael. I don't know, probably not,
because I haven't said anything.
If you approve the calendar, it's just probably...
I think you've got a pretty inclusive list. Yeah, I was just going to say, OSBA on their section, online section, being a board member, they have maybe some descriptions, and that might serve as a resource to...
Right.
You know, help to write, you know, some information in there.
The other thing I wanted to do before we break on this is talk about how we're going to write it. So if you want to write one of these items, grab it right now. Otherwise, we'll probably split them up and then go to the experts. Okay, like for instance... Like who do we go to for the organization chart? Somebody in...
Yeah, we have that. You approve it when it changes, it's getting ready to change.
So then come to the board office and talk to...
Let's wait until after next month's meeting.
Could one of us call you up, Todd, and maybe talk through number five? You know, because the other thing we talk about is we want it to be accurate. We don't want it just like...
Yeah, I mean, I think if Todd's willing to draft something or somebody in his office.
So do you want a map of each building? Is that what that is on?
No, a map of like where...
The district?
A district map.
Boundaries.
Okay, yeah.
Where the buildings are.
Yeah,
so Marysville School District, and here's Edgewood, here's Raymond, here's Mill Valley, Northwood, Haven. Oh, address, phone number.
Yeah, I mean, Nan pointed out that this is not a criticism of anybody, but somebody could get elected to the board and not even know what all the buildings are.
Right.
Yeah.
It's perfectly possible. And then, who do you think would be helpful for the history of Marysville School, right?
Oh.
Who might, where would that come from? Just a brief history of the district.
Well, I saw on Facebook somebody asked why are we an exempted village.
Oh,
Here's what happens. You come in. This probably happens to you when you're on staff, too, that you learn the history in little bits and pieces over many years. And I think it would be nice for a new board member to have an overview.
Yeah.
This is one that
I absolutely agree.
Right.
And I don't know where to find that info quickly and efficiently.
Well, I think that they can study that. I feel like they're a part of the board.
Not
right
totally,
we had the bicentennial, and it was probably a document in the Marysville bicentennial materials on the schools. Some of the water put together.
Would you like me to check with Jennifer Conness and see if other school districts she serves as our communications have examples of some things too that you would like to look at? I didn't think that would be.
It's kind of nice to.
You can just have it be a really good resource, and I can send you
some
things.
Because the history could get long.
You don't want anything ahead to be too long.
Yeah.
Right.
You can read it
right
now, the whole pamphlet.
When did Marysville School start?
Yeah.
Why are we talking to Dylan?
I
mean, I even looked that up and learned about it today, and I'm like, I still don't understand.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
What's
the local? I think this is a really good start.
We'll work on it, and we may be reaching out to some of you for help on this specific area.
Yeah.
And you can certainly reach out to us if some ideas come to mind.
Yep. That sounds good. Thank you, guys. Good session. So we'll just... We'll have a follow-up at some point. We're waiting for confirmation for July 19th, but put that as save the date on your calendars, July 19th, for the district strategic plan visioning work session. We'll be doing some end-of-year evaluations sometime in July as well, so... if you want, we can try...
Date for the 19th, so.
Do we have what?
A time?
I know it has 5:30-ish. To be 5.
Yeah, like
okay.
5:30-ish.
So you want to shoot for 5:30?
That's
that was my
goal. Yeah, because it's potentially a 3-hour meeting.
Yeah.
Who's all going to be at that?
Somebody from Knowledge Works, who's like an educational visionary.
Are there going to be people besides the governance team or?
It'll be a work session, so
just be the representatives from Knowledge Works, and he may even have to Zoom in. At this point, still haven't changed the
restrictions for travel, and he works out of Pennsylvania. Okay. So July 19th
at 5:30.
Yes, tentatively, right now, and then, like I said, we'll need to do our end of year evaluations and of our board review
that day,
July August. We won't.
Oh,
no. Different day. Okay. So, and if, you know, depending on people's travel schedules, if we need to try and lump them close together, if people are in and out, whatever.
I know I'm going to be gone the last week of June, and the first week is a lot.
Okay. Well, are we ready to adjourn?
Yes.
So
okay. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second
by Ms. Savage. Before we do the roll call, thank you again, everybody, for, I think, some really valuable input. I'm excited. I think our protocols are revised and much cleaner, and so excellent work.
Mm-hmm.
Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Liu?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Most